Hi guys, welcome back to Recruiter Insights. We have Samuel Chong, a marketing specialist, as our guest today. He is passionate about helping businesses drive marketing strategy. He writes, he shares, and he talks about marketing. Let's get to know more about his career journey. Everybody has a story to tell, so tell us about your career story.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Wendy, and thanks, Andrea, for asking me on this podcast. I'm a digital marketing specialist with Content Chemistry. We are basically a marketing agency, but we also are HubSpot partners. That's basically what I do day-to-day. I help clients with their marketing. I help train them in using HubSpot, which is a CRM software. It's been a journey for me. How I actually ended up in this current role I have, and you guys know me for quite a while, but I am one of those rare marketers that actually graduated with a degree in marketing. That was, I guess, the path that I decided to study and to go down on, because to be very frank, in high school, you go down the science stream, you think you're either going to do something related to, biochem or, physics, I guess, engineering and stuff. But I guess for me, I felt like I have a creative streak and I like coming up with ideas and being creative. So, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do, I went down the path of studying business, and obviously marketing seemed pretty interesting to me. So I majored in marketing, and this is quite a while ago. I won't say when, but so I graduated with marketing. But I think over the years, I've also sort of done different things as well. I did sales, I did real estate, I did training for a while, and then I also worked in a co-working space. So quite a big chunk of my career, I would say, was in sales. Although, it was sandwiched in between, I guess, when I started, it was obviously in marketing, and then now back to marketing. So things have changed over the years, but I would say that, I think marketing has been pretty interesting, and the way it's changed, because technology's changed and buyer behavior has changed. So marketing has become, I would say, even more interesting today than probably was
I actually like your career journey, and you also mentioned that, marketing has changed. Definitely. I think if you look back at, it 10 years ago when you first started your marketing job? Has it been 10 years?
And yeah.
Was different.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Then you took a detour. Then you moved back to marketing, right? Actually, then kind of like what led you back into marketing? You were doing sales.
I think I was, I worked in marketing for a few years. And after that, I felt like at that time, I think it was social media was sort of like the new kid on the block. And it was up and coming, right? So before that, what did we have? We have we have bloggers, and we have, search ads and all those things, and social media was sort of like fledgling and coming up, so Twitter, Facebook and all those, I think after a few years I felt like I needed a change, because I wasn't sure whether I wanted to do that sort of marketing for the long term. And so I thought the best way to learn, and someone told me that if I wanted to really learn and jump into the deep end really of learning, then try sales, and of course that's how I ended up in real estate. So the main, I would say, to be honest, the main trigger for me getting back into marketing was because I moved here to Australia. So I'm currently based here in Adelaide, Australia, and I felt that even though sales was interesting, sales was something I was known for, I feel like I needed to have a very almost like a technical sort of experience coming into a new market with no one, no contacts, no network. I have to actually establish myself based on the skills that I have, right? So then I think I started sort of checking out all these online courses. And this is, by the way, in the middle of COVID and, lockdowns and things like that happening, right? So went online, did my research, did some online courses. HubSpot actually came into the picture. They have some free courses for marketers. And this whole idea of inbound marketing, I don't know if you've heard of it. Inbound marketing basically is marketing that is about creating content that is firstly useful to the user, useful and educational, and it's basically, you know, attracting people with useful content, right? And so that was quite a big shift because, you know, when we talk about marketing before, it was like very much, you know, promotions and like putting content out there to kind of attract and campaigns. And yeah, it's all about like trying to put an offer in front of a customer, hopefully that they'll purchase. But right now is like content has become sort of like the way that you actually attract your ideal customers. And actually that was very interesting to me. And it made me reconsider marketing as like, yeah, you know, I think I really like the fact that, you know, at the core of it is about helping people and creating useful content. So from there, I guess it started me like sort of like writing, and I did a bit of like, you know, content writing for a while, and then sort of like one thing led to another. And then now I'm working in a digital marketing agency. I'm pretty much doing the same thing, but I would say a big part of my role is also incorporating some of my sales experience, because that's like marketing is about generating leads, right? And ultimately it's leads that will lead to sales for businesses that we help. So, and that's what marketing is, right? It's kind of like, you know, it's we call it like, you know, just there's a word we use, marketing, sales and marketing. Actually, the more we are aligned to one another, the more effective we'll be, right? So when sales and marketing comes together, it works closer together. And yeah, I think that sort of like is where I felt like, oh, my sales experience and my marketing experience kind of like both come together there. And yeah, I think I forgot what was the question you asked, but I hope I answered it. But like in a way, I feel like coming back to marketing has been, you know, refreshing in a way, because it has changed. And because you've seen how technology has changed, right? You know, with all the social media like TikToks, YouTube videos, you know, and all these things have become more educational in that sense. And that has become something that creating valuable content has become like almost like you have to be creating valuable content in order to attract people.
Yeah.
You can't always asking for, you know, would you like to buy something from me? But you know, the more valuable content you create, that actually is the basic form of marketing nowadays. Yeah.
That's true. I mean, when you're talking about sales and marketing, we always say this thing, like sales and marketing are like the left hand and the right hand. And so you've got to work together, right? How do you feel your experience in sales has added value to the kind of marketing you're doing now? Because content creation, right? But I mean, salespeople, sales pitches, you know, like how does it link?
Yeah. So I would say like when I think about sales, like even when I was doing sales, I felt that one of the things that for me is a core value is actually helping people. And so when I did sales, I also made it very clear that I wasn't going to be very pushy about closing the deal, right? And it was about helping people make informed decisions. So for me, a core value is learning to help people and actually loving to help people. And I think coming back to how it relates to marketing, I would say the most important, and it is quite cliche, but like the most important thing that we need to have is putting ourselves in the other person's shoe, right? Which is basically thinking like your customer. So I think from a sales perspective, I think salespeople, I think good ones kind of intuitively have that sort of empathy and that sort of ability to be stepping into people's shoes and understand where they're coming from in order to help them, I guess, make an informed decision to close the deal. Yes, you know, on one hand, being pushy helps, but again, that's sort of like playing on people's fear. But as a good marketer would be someone who can put yourself in your customer's shoes, right? And we hear this a lot, it's about knowing your customers. You need to know who you are planning to market to, who are the people that most likely will be the ones buying your product. And I think that to me is the most important element of this, right? So Yeah, I think whether it's sales or marketing, you have to really know who you're marketing to, right? So, you know, you talk about sales. I did real estate, so I'll use real estate as an example. So if you ask, I'll ask questions like, you know, how big is your family? Do you have kids? You know, how many rooms? Because that sort of like, yeah, informs you, like, is the location ideal? You know, where does their kids go to school? Is the number of rooms enough? If they had too many people, or, you know, then obviously 3 or 4 bedrooms may or may not be enough. So that's sort of like qualifying questions I'll find out. And then on the other hand, as a marketer, these are questions you also need to ask, I guess, your customers, right? So, you know, every new business starts off firstly with sales, right? Once you get a couple of customers, and then once you ask these customers of yours these sort of questions, what was this problem that you were facing? What sort of, you know, how were you searching for your solutions? Were you using Google? Was it through social media? Was it, you know, by reading websites? And then how do you make a decision? You know, do you have to actually discuss it with a group of people, your board? Do you have to, you know, like, or you make the decision? So these are questions you can actually ask your current customers. And the better you get at understanding your customers, I think the better you get as a marketer. So I think that, you know, is non-intuitive, but I think most good marketers are people who actually can understand, like, who the right audience, who the right customers are for the brand or the product that you're trying to market.
Like really understanding your target market now.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, basically.
That makes a job more meaningful in a sense that I'm helping you to solve a problem.
Yeah.
Consultative.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Talking about content creation, I know at one point you were very, very active on LinkedIn. Like every day you will post a post teaching people, you know, what marketing is and how do you do your branding out there. And I'm just curious, like, why did you choose LinkedIn as a platform?
Yeah, I think I obviously have dabbled in many different platforms. Twitter, Facebook, obviously. I think LinkedIn is a bit different. Firstly, you know, if we are professionals, and we're trying to build that professional network we want to have, then there's really no other place. So LinkedIn, maybe three years ago when I sort of started getting more active, it was sort of like, I guess, a big change has been happening in LinkedIn. And somehow at that time, people started posting more regularly. So, you know, I think all of us might have joined LinkedIn like when we graduated, right? And just created a profile so that, you know, we at least was searchable, findable online. And it wasn't like a content platform, right? You wouldn't be reading useful content on that platform. But 3 years ago, I think there was a big change. I wonder if COVID was to do, had something to do with it, or I think LinkedIn had matured as a platform and had discovered sort of
enough like, community.
Yeah. There was suddenly more and more people. I think there was a tipping point where more useful content started being published. And when I say it's a content as a platform for professionals, and I'm not promoting LinkedIn, I'm not a brand ambassador, but there is no other platform that you can ask and comment on a post by a CEO of a large company and they actually will reply to you. You know, like, I feel like that ability for you to engage with people, not only your peers, but people above your level, you know, GM, CEOs, whatever, what have you, within your lane, right? So if you're a marketer and you want to find CMOs or senior marketers and leaders, that's an ability for you to actually reach this group as well. So that's sort of why I felt LinkedIn was quite a great platform for you to actually build that, because again, there's no anonymity, you know, on LinkedIn. Like, everyone's names and titles are known, right? Unlike other social media platforms you have. Yeah, it's transparent, and these people are actually sharing content that is actually quite, you know, for most of the content there, it's useful. And yeah, you can engage with them, they reply you, you know. I don't think there's any other platform for that.
Do you remember one or two top LinkedIn users, like, you find it useful?
Oh, yeah.
So initially, when you first started, right, you look at all these people who started posting and like,
oh, yeah, there's
quite a good content out there.
Yeah, wow. I've been on a LinkedIn sort of break for a while since end of last year, so I haven't been quite active recently, but I would say because the people I met through my own podcast, some of them have been people that I found, hey, you know, like they are really like, you know, posting really relevant.
A lot more transparent.
Like, you know, within my industry and within my sphere, I thought that's really good. Like Mason was, Mason Cosby is a marketer I met on LinkedIn. He launched his own podcast and he sort of like, I had a conversation, like, you know, I reached out to him, you know, hopped on a Zoom call, and basically through that, like, he encouraged me to, you know, it was kind of like him made that, you know, made me start a podcast, you know what I mean? So it was just on a whim, but it was like something I wanted to do for a long time, but needed a push from someone like him, right? And then all the other marketers that I've met, I think, you know, kind of I'm blanking out here right now, but I think I've just, like, you know, seeing how consistent they've been posting stuff, I've also been learning all the time about, you know, marketing, about, you know, how to be a better marketer, how to be a better, like, leader, you know, how can you work, you know, efficiently without burning out, you know, just those sort of things. I think over time, you know, you start to see, there'll be people who start and stop, but, you know, there'll be some others that actually are quite consistent over time.
You remember one of the posts that you posted, like, I hope I remember it correctly. I think you mentioned, be a day one marketer.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's always day one for you. Always something new for you to learn.
Yeah.
I must say, I think I read all your posts and I could, don't know, somehow remember what you posted and what you thought.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think over time it's like, I'm almost like saying the same thing over and over, but it's just ideas that you come back to all the time. And I think, you know, it's sort of, you know, again, it's part of that process of, you know, thinking out loud, right? With the help of writing it down, you know, you actually consolidate your ideas. You make your ideas clearer. You know, you've actually fleshed it out a bit more. And I think that's helpful for me in that, you know, journaling every day, probably, you know, to yourself is probably a very good habit to have. But having to actually post something online, have your ideas sort of go out there and people actually respond and react to it, that's also a good way to test your thinking, you know. Like, you might think that, hey, you know, you got a theory, you got an idea, but you're not sure whether it will catch on. But by putting it out there, I think you actually put it to the test, really. So, not all of the posts, I think, are ones that I sit down for a long time and think about, but it's ideas that I have in my head. And over time, I think, you know, as I think about them even more, it is going deeper in a few topics is what I think has helped me. So, yeah, thanks for reading. I know, if anything,
I always see Wendy like it. When she likes your post, then it pops up on my head.
Right, yeah. That's the power of LinkedIn, right? Like, you get to see people that you may not be directly connected.
And I must say, you put in a lot of effort, lah, because to post it consistently for, I don't know how long, how long did you do it? Every day?
Yeah, I think more than 2 years. I think most days, I would say, like, I think I had a rule for myself, like, most weekdays at one point, just so that, you know, like, at the least, I'll post once a day, just so that I keep myself sort of like accountable to myself, you know, that I'm actually actively engaging. Because, for the last 2 years, I've also kind of been working from home. So, you know, just being online and connecting with others in the industry actually has helped me. It can be pretty lonely, just sort of like being working from home by yourself in your own office. But it's good. I think I felt like, you know, like there's a whole group of people around the world, and not just like in my own sphere, but like literally around the world, different time zones. We are able to connect and we're able to sort of engage with one another.
Did you have a goal before that? You know, like, to you, it's like, yes, keeping yourself accountable, connecting with like-minded people in the same industry. But when you first, you know, started this mini project of, you know, posting consistently on LinkedIn, like, did you have a goal at that time?
I think, obviously, with LinkedIn, I guess, you know, one thing is to expand my network. The other thing is to, you know, open myself for opportunities, job-wise. And I think also, just, I guess, challenging myself to keep to something that I can sort of do repeatedly, because I think, you know, on the one hand, it's both building a habit about being consistent daily, but on the other hand, it's like just that one single habit has, I guess, compounding effects, right? To actually, you know, kind of help you, you know, reach more people and help you like build an audience, okay? Because I started writing sort of like through like Medium, my blog, but I heard somewhere that, you know, publishing on your own blog in today's age is sort of like, because no one is going to go to your blog and read it nowadays. So you're better off actually posting it on LinkedIn, even though it's a much shorter, it's more concise. But going on a platform like LinkedIn where it's distributed and people read it is actually better than just posting on your blog. So yeah, so I think that's sort of like my personal goal to myself was just to be consistent, just to be posting something, and just see how long I guess I can do it. Yeah.
Question: what? Okay, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I think a lot of people do. Like maybe they feel like they want to create content, they want to post something on LinkedIn, but there's this barrier that I think a lot of people face, like the what if it's wrong? What will people think? You know, and then they just don't do it. Who says that? And what sort of advice do you have for people?
Great question, Andrea. I think when I first started, obviously, there'll be a lot of misses. And misses, I mean, like you post something thinking it would do great and it doesn't do great, right? And then somehow randomly, as I'm walking to buy my coffee, I type something in 5 minutes on my phone and suddenly it becomes, you know, well received. Yeah, so it's just very weird. But I think I found that one of the, like, there's one important part of LinkedIn is, to me, is finding your voice, right? And what I mean by that is the more you write and the more people engage, and that's good feedback as well, you start to discover some ideas actually resonate better than others. And these should be ideas that you sort of know deeply yourself, right? So I would say it's because you think about them, you actually, you know, engage with these sort of ideas. And for me right now, it's I have this sort of like little tagline that I've used in a couple of posts, like finding your people. And to me, that's sort of like a quick way for me to capture what I mean by, you know, writing to find the audience that you want to reach. And I think finding your voice is an important part of this. You cannot find your voice if you don't post a lot, right? And you don't engage in comments and don't see what people are saying about your post. And I think volume matters here. It's like you get better by doing something a lot of times, like repeatedly, you know, until the point you find like, hey, you know, these are the few things that people are really resonating with. And these are the few things that I know I can write well, and I know deep enough that I can create multiple pieces of content
from. You need to try, right? Like trial and error.
And you need to try. And sometimes I think, you know, LinkedIn does change the algorithms quite a bit by like, you know, if you feel afraid of just posting, and sometimes I think the first step usually is the hardest, but post on comments, right? So comments are also like a free sort of way for you to post ideas, and no one cares if no one likes a comment, you know? So, but we always are afraid if we post something and no one engages it, you know, should I delete it or just hide it? But if you post it as a comment in response to someone else, like who cares if that gets zero likes? But it gives you the incentive, I guess, to keep posting. So, and by the way, like I think LinkedIn, some people say post once a day, twice a day, you know, three times a day, that's the limit. Because, you know, it will sort of like impact your ability to appear in the feed. But anyway, no one says there's any limits to comments. So you can literally like write hundreds of comments a day and build that sort of like this, and build that sort of like, I would say courage, and then, you know, start to post yourself. Like, I think that's just also a good way to start, because I think commenting especially is like, you know, engaging with other people's ideas. I think that's important as well, because you don't want to be a taker. You also want to be a giver. So how do you add on to the ideas? How do you, you know, in some ways improve it, or how do you engage with it, like agree or disagree? Like I think over time, you start to actually solidify again your position and I guess your thinking around certain things. And then once you're clear, then writing a post, it becomes easier because then you find some clarity in your thinking already. Yeah, so I mean, don't worry about posting. I would say people like spend too much time like being like thinking of like perfect post that they should do. But yeah, so yeah, and I would just recommend like start commenting, start just engaging people. And you can DM someone, but most of the time people may not reply. But if you comment on their post, chances are they will reply to that comment. Like it's just, you know, human behavior because that's public already. So they have a commitment to sort of reply to it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
So, Hossein, how do you think by, you know, being active on LinkedIn has helped you in your career journey?
Yeah, I think, you know, just knowing that I'm not in the boat by my own, there are others out there. And it's, in fact, like, I think it's just changed my small thinking around, like, being a marketer, right? And actually, there's so many better, smarter, more brilliant marketers out there, like for me at least. And I find that just posting on LinkedIn and, you know, I'm finding them and they are finding me, you know. So it's like there's this phrase that I come back to quite often. It's called serendipity vehicle. And the idea of that is that you never know what your content that you create will actually do, you know. Will it lead to a job promotion? Will it lead to job opportunities? Will it lead to this, that, or the other? You just don't know. But the fact that you're posting and consistently doing that, it actually acts as what I call, you know, I didn't coin this term. There's a guy called David Perel and he's coined this term called serendipity vehicle. And content is like that, you know, every day, imagine you just put out a little piece of content and over time, eventually, you know, opportunities come in or people come in and you meet them and they find you because you post content out there. So that's it, you know. Honestly, I don't, again, you asked me previously what were my goals. I don't really know, but I think just by doing this, I found that, you know, I've got, firstly, you know, I think recognition from just my peers and even my current job, I think, you know, my boss, he says, he sees my posts, he's acknowledged that, you know, I've also helped steer some traffic, for example, to our own website, you know, and I'm promoting our business as well. Every single time I'm on podcast, I'm on LinkedIn, every time I appear in the feed. So that's all free marketing for my company, right? So I think I cannot quantify the benefits, but I would say like it's expanded my thinking and ability. And most importantly, I think it's given me opportunities I wouldn't otherwise have found, right? So, you know, posting on LinkedIn led to a podcast, you know, led to, you know, conversing with people I wouldn't otherwise have been able to. Ashley Faust, one of the persons who appear on my podcast, she works for Atlassian. She you know, Atlassian, you know, the big software company. So Trello is owned by Atlassian, and they've got lots and tons of software. I met her on LinkedIn and engaged with her content like months before I actually asked her if she wants to be on the podcast. So it's just opportunities like that you never know, right? And you know, it's really fun, and it's an opportunity for us to sort of like open ourselves up to, you know, a much wider circle. And again, you know, in Malaysia, you know, the industry, you might know most people, but you know, widen the circle a bit. Like, who knows who's out there, you know?
And, I mean, this is networking at its best, right?
Like, yes, 100%.
See you posting. I mean, it's different from, you know, you give business card and then forget about it after that. You know,
exactly.
It's like a platform they own.
No, that's the point, Andrew. I think I find that LinkedIn is now the new form of networking, like without the you know, like having to appear at a conference just so you can exchange business cards with people. And it leads nowhere. You know, I'd much rather like, hey, you know, like great to connect with you. Hey, you know, I find that you have really great ideas around this particular topic. Can I chat with you on a podcast? And 90% of the time, most people will say yes, because, you know, yeah, if you want to promote me and, you know, make me appear in your podcast, why not? Like, I think that's really good as well. And I think that sort of networking creates bonds. Sorry to digress a bit. I think podcasting, again, is a really good marketing tactic. I think especially for B2B businesses. B2B is about, you know, I think in very different terms, is it different than B2C, right? But B2B is like, I think the ability for you to actually know who you're actually reaching out to, like, you know, you can actually have a podcast, you can actually invite them to join the podcast, your ideal customers, talk to them, engage with them and build that relationship. And actually the podcast is a form of relationship building without either one sort of like pushing anything or selling anything to one another. Like, think about it, you know, like instead of, you know, just exchanging business cards, now you have a real reason for connecting because, you know, it's a win-win, right? Who doesn't like being promoted? You know, if I invite you on the show to talk about my own stuff and my own products, at the same time, I get to ask questions that, you know, I wouldn't otherwise have been able to. Like, you know, who wants to go out for just a $10 coffee, right? Because that is not valuable to me in terms of my time. My time is worth like 100 times more than $10, $10 coffee. But on a podcast, sure, why not? And you can ask people all these sort of questions, build a relationship. And yeah, I think that's already a great way. And to me also, like, I also see that podcast is no longer like how many people are listening. It's, think about every episode and every interview you have with someone as one person, that an opportunity to build a relationship with one more person. I think that's like, to me, wow, you know, that's a different way to think about podcasts. Like, who cares if like N100 or whoever listen? Yeah, but if I can just talk to this CMO, if I can talk to this other, you know, marketing leader, and chance to build and rub shoulders with these people, I think, yeah, that makes the podcast already worth it, right? Again, serendipity vehicle, I don't care about, you know, again, just the numbers alone, because I'm not going to get sponsorship or, you know, I'm not going to monetize it yet, right? And it's not the goal of the podcast, but if I can use it as a point to leverage and build relationship with other people, I think that itself has, you know, its service purpose. Yeah.
Talking about podcasts, I know you stopped posting after July last year. So do you still plan to grow your podcast this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It's been a pretty busy past few months. And I think, I've actually decided to take a break from podcasting for a while. And LinkedIn also has sort of taken a backseat just to focus on my work and other volunteer jobs that I'm doing. But I think for me, like, I probably will do something to try it out and test it, you know, for a while. Like, and I found that journey to do a podcast was really interesting. Who knows if I may start it up again this year. The plan is obviously to also do something for my company. I think this year we have also plans to sort of do something similar. So who knows? But, you know, all the learnings definitely didn't go to waste. But yeah, I think I just need to firstly rethink, you know, how I can actually have that on my plate whilst managing other responsibilities. And so, yeah, just sort of taking a break. I did a run of it for a while, but yeah, it's okay to take a break as well. Like, you know, as long as you know, you discover what you need to, and then, yeah, you can always experiment and try new things.
I like the idea you said, you know, you like to do this thing and then you try it out. Experiment with it, and that might somehow lead you to somewhere. I mean, you don't have to, you know, make it successful or money making or monetize it, but it's an experience, lah.
Yeah, I mean, also think about it this way. Like, I think for a lot of people, they are still stuck with the instant gratification sort of thing, where you want things like now to happen, but sometimes things take months or years, you know, before it actually develops, and you never know when it will. So yeah, maybe down the track, like, it could eventually like lead to something else, but you just can't predict and you never know, right? That's more of like, you know, trying to predict the future. But yeah, I think if you just do something and do it consistently over time, I would say like do fewer things, but if you want to consistently do those fewer things well, you know, rather than try to do everything. Yeah, I think that already is like, yeah, just try to focus on one thing and do it well.
Mm. I want to segue and ask you a question, Samuel.
Yes.
Because you left Malaysia, right? You're in Australia now.
Yeah.
Question, why did you leave? Why Australia? And my third question is the grass really greener on the other side? I have to ask this because...
No problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think to answer simply, we moved here. I mean, you know, it's more of a family decision more than anything. We've got family, for example, in Melbourne, you know, so like we've come here many times over the years, and every time we come, it's like we ask ourselves, should we move over? And so one thing led to another. So eventually, yeah, we did end up moving. Is the grass greener? It's different grass here. So it's, it's a different kind of green. That's what I would say. Like, it's, you know, I guess you can always look at things with like rose tinted glasses and like, yeah, you know, like this is better than that, you know, and, you know, is definitely more comfortable in a different way. Like, you know, it's cooler here. It, you know, the weather's different. The food is slightly different. I still miss Malaysian food. So, you know, there's pros and cons. I miss, you know, seeing friends. I've still got family back home in Malaysia as well. So it's different grass, lah. I mean, it's more of like if, you know, what, like wherever you end up, I guess, it's your decision, I would say, you know. And whatever decision you make, I guess you make the most out of it, right? So, yeah, I think long-term, you know, so obviously... It's more for family, but also I think the decision was also partly to do with just lifestyle, I guess, you know, like we also feel like, you know, potentially this could be a better place to raise our kids, you know. They definitely have exposure and more opportunities to, you know, learn and grow here. Again, too early to tell, but like I feel yeah, it's just a different opportunity, you know. So It's for us when we think about us growing up, you know, there's now I look at what they're studying and what they're learning is so different to what we are doing. We did rather, you know, then it's something that, yeah, you cannot comprehend and you cannot, like, yeah, it's just different experience for them now growing up. So yeah, different grass, different color grass.
Yeah. I like that. Different grass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good one. Sorry, when do you want to ask?
Like, I wanted to ask, you know, for those who are in marketing or those who are in sales, and say, you know, I also want to, you know, try working in Australia. Like, the question would be, how easy or how difficult it is to land a job as a, land a marketing job in Australia?
Yeah, I think if you have experience, you can definitely, you know, do the work from anywhere. Like, even now, like, we also hire freelancers from Upwork. Whether it's for help with content writing or Facebook ads, like, because we're an agency, so sometimes we do hire freelancers as well. So I would say if you are a marketer with experience and you want to test the waters, like, you can start freelancing for a start. Another way you could do is obviously look for work in agencies. Like, agencies typically have, you know, more opportunities. They typically are always looking for people, so that's always a good place to start. I don't know, I mean, I feel like marketing itself, it's so wide and it's so deep, right? Wide meaning like there's so many sort of different branches that it goes out to, right? So you've got the PPCs, right, the paid ads, you've got SEO, you've got website, you've got social media, you've got email marketing, you've got inbound marketing, you've got, you know, all sorts of different things that you can branch out to. That's the breadth of it, but also there's a lot of depth, because like you can be a beginner or a novice, or you can go really deep and become like really expert at things. So there's so much like breadth in that. You literally can start anywhere, or you want to be a generalist, or you want to be a specialist, you can start anywhere. But I would say like there's so many different pathways, I guess. But if you're talking about entry level, sort of like coming in and wanting to start out, like working in an agency is a good place to start. More opportunities and a lot more agencies are always like hiring, or even more, like, if you're, let's say you're very specialized in one area, then freelancing is also a good way to go. Or it's quite unlikely you'll get sort of roles in companies for one specific thing, because most companies, if anything, they have a couple, if they have budget to hire marketers, usually they're generalists. And these marketers, if they can hire a marketing manager and then the marketing manager sort of works with agencies and freelancers to get their campaigns launched and, you know, marketing strategy done, yeah, most companies probably can only hire one, right, marketing person. So they are most likely generalists. So if you are a generalist, then, you know, you can sort of like explore those sort of roles. I think most entry-level people are, if you're just starting out. And like I said, like, yeah, agencies also are a great place because, yeah, you can be both a generalist or you can be a specialist as well. Now, maybe to answer a question, like, behind that is, like, where do you actually gain experience, or if you want to start, like, you know, a career as a marketer, like...
Well, if I have no experience, you know,
yeah,
I'm in sales and I want to get into marketing, how do I start?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's important to... understand the basic marketing sort of like theories, right? So, for example, we talk a lot about inbound marketing. What is inbound marketing, right? So it's creating valuable content to attract your ideal customers. How do you create content? You can either write blogs, you can write articles, you can create ebooks, you can do videos, and then sort of like distribute them through all the channels like social media, and then eventually lead them back to your website. And if they see what they like, they may book a meeting with you, or they may fill out a form to get a quote or things like that. So that's all about pulling people in through the funnel. So I think having some basic understanding of, I guess, what we call the sales funnel or the marketing funnel, sales and marketing funnel, the buyer's journey, right? That process from, you know, so we talk about buyer's journey can be like, you know, from unaware, you know, of your product solution or their problems, right? Then you become problem aware, but not yet solution aware, right? So problem aware, I have a problem. And then now solution aware, oh, I started searching for solutions. I found company A, B, and C that actually can solve my problems. Solution aware, then you're going down the funnel, you're now towards the decision stage really. Okay, narrow down my needs, narrow down to these few companies. Now, how do I, now I'm choosing which of these actually can solve my problem. So people go through that decision-making process, and it's called the buyer's journey. So have it, then an understanding of that. But everything else, I think you can learn. You know, social media changes all the time. Yeah.
If I just summarize a text.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ultimately, that's why I still come back to this. You must know your people, right? You must know how to find your people. And your people can be your customers. Your people can be your audience. You must know how to find your people, right? And that means you must go where they are, right? Talk to them, right? Engage with them on LinkedIn, engage with them on Twitter, email them, DM them, you know, talk to them. So, like, you know, things may not lead to anywhere, but, like, most importantly, you're actually building all these things over time, and you start to get more insight than you would just sitting down there and trying to imagine. Oh, what would, yeah, just trying to make assumptions, you know, so don't make assumptions, actually talk and engage with people. So yeah, I think if you want to be a marketer, at least understand that sort of like the buyer's journey, right? Understand what is a marketing and sales funnel,
yep,
right? And everything else about the different, when you say channels, right? Social media is a channel. So those are the nuances of the specific channels, right? Like, you know, then you know, okay, if your buyers, for example, are always on Instagram and TikTok, okay, then you can start creating content there. That's more tactical already, right? That one you can figure it out yourself, because those change all the time as well. But the foundations of marketing don't really change a lot. And yeah, I mean, know your audience, right? Know your offer, right? And then figure out a way to, you know, put that offer in front of your audience, and then sort of like work towards that, I guess. So it can be simple, but it can be complicated as well, because it's a lot. That's why people say marketing is not, it's like a, they call it like, it's a trade, right? It's a trade, meaning like you can't learn this in school, right? Marketing, it can't be a degree. it has to have real life experience, engaging with people, real life experience using all these platforms. So, you know, and then, you know, you post something one day, for example, it will work. Tomorrow it doesn't work. It's like, why? You don't know. So it's a lot of experimenting as well.
Creativity, but also problem solving. And
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, so on day one, my Facebook ads, brilliant, you know, cost per lead so low. And then tomorrow, suddenly it tanked again. Why? You know, you have to learn to be a bit like Sherlock Holmes, investigate a bit, figure out why, what's going on with that. But yeah, I mean, that's the fun bit of marketing where, like, you know, you really have to, yeah, have that problem solving sort of attitude. And yeah, just find that, I find that interesting. So if you find that interesting, then probably you enjoy being a marketer, I guess.
Samuel, what has been challenging for you in your job as a marketeer?
Well, I would give a very generic answer, but a lot of times the most difficult challenges are with people. So I think I would say, yeah, without a doubt that again, I'm biased, but if you work with good people, then, you know, it's makes the journey more enjoyable, right? So the people you work with, your colleagues, obviously have to be people that not only are fun to work with, but you also feel like it's iron sharpen iron, right? Like they're brilliant themselves and they can actually sharpen you, help you become better. And also, you know, working with good clients, I guess in your industry, it would be not only candidates, but also all the, you know, companies that obviously employ you to find these candidates. So I think it's about working with the right sort of people as well, working with the right sort of clients that you want to. And then, yeah, I think that is probably, that can sort of like make the journey enjoyable or make it challenging. But everything else, I would say, you know, it's fun because it's, if you like learning, then, you know, it will be interesting. And there's literally no end to learning, and there's no end to sort of making. It's like a painting that you can't finish. You know, you like marketing. You do it brilliantly one day, and then next day you want to tweak something here, you want to tweak something there. So it's always a work in progress in that sense. So I would say, like, yeah, that's why, you know, for some people who feel like they like checklists, right? They like to, you know, check things off the list. Sorry, you know, like what we do, there's like the checklist doesn't end because there's an endless list of things. So it can be frustrating if you are more of a task-oriented sort of person, where, yeah, it's like, oh, you know, like, you know, it just never ends, you know? But yeah, if you enjoy learning and growing, then it's fine as well. So I would say, yeah, you know, people make it hard, but problems and challenges can make it frustrating as well. But if, let's say, on the flip side, you get, you know, to work with good people and you have, you know, problems that are interesting enough and you quite enjoy solving them, then yeah, I would say that makes it much more bearable.
True, agree. The same with our industry.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think, yeah, you guys are also doing some sort of like sales and some sort of marketing as well, like in many ways. So a lot of the same things like carry across and apply. So
okay.
Yeah.
I have one final question. I don't know what Andrea would be like, you know, who inspires you?
Oh, wow. Interesting question. Haven't really thought about this recently. Yeah, I mean, if anything, I would say, like, you know, for me, sorry to sound cliche, but like I feel like I'm looking at my children and see that they are, you know, they're so excited about something that sounds very trivial, you know, like they're so proud of their, for example, painting or the artwork that they did, and I feel like that sort of like just just that simple enjoyment of something that they create, you know, from their own hands, like I find that quite inspiring for me. I think recently I've been thinking around the idea of, like, again, what makes us sort of like, you know, what is purpose, right? What is like trying to be, you know, intentional and being purposeful in what we do. I think the answer, to be honest, is like you got to strip everything away, right? And sort of like, you know, your job, your title, and sort of like strip that away. But like, you know, what really matters is like, I would say, for me, at least as a Christian, it's obviously to live a intentional life and to pursue God. But at the same time, like, you know, it's also about just that community of people that you have around you. Like, you know, for most of us, it's family primarily, and also the group of friends that we have. So I would say that, yeah, I mean, that ultimately is what is meaningful, at least to me, right? You know, it's both spiritual, but it's also relational. And yeah, I think, yeah, strip everything else away. Like, you know, I think ultimately that to me, yeah, is more meaningful. And I don't know whether I answered that question directly, but yeah, I think.
Yes, definitely. And I guess that's all for today. I mean, I wanted it to be like a, you know, one chatting session with a friend. And
no problem.
I kind of like the idea that, you know, give a lot of pockets of wisdom.
Yeah.
I think we learned a lot from you. So I need to go back and listen to this.
I think it's more helpful for me. Like, I need to go back and reflect. And, you know, I've been thinking of wanting to post on LinkedIn. And many times, you know, the overthinking just stop you from
doing it. Yeah, and it's always about starting small, I would say. But yeah, I think, you know, whether it's that for you, I mean, I don't know. So I would always recommend people to test the waters, like start with commenting. Like, so yeah, sorry to digress, but like if you have this barrier, this thing that's blocking you, always try to find the something small that you can do to sort of like break and overcome that fear, right? I think most people have that fear of posting, but it's actually something you can overcome, because to me, posting a comment is posting as well. It's like, and don't just comment something simple, just put in at least a couple of lines and actually that you think about and engage with the idea that people post about, and tell them why, like, you know,
like, even, like actually share your thoughts. Yeah,
I think, yeah, start there and you start to realize it's actually not as difficult as you made it out to be. And sometimes some of the comments that I made honestly has turned out to be a very, like, I then change it to become a post, right? Because as I start writing it started becoming clear to me, and then that becomes the idea of another post that I can put out. So sometimes I just never know where this inspiration will come from. So anyway, digressing.
And you can comment on people's posts, like, people that you don't know, which is great. Like, I mean, because like Facebook and all, I mean, like, if you're talking about the friend thing, like,
they will judge. Yeah, you fear of people judging.
But actually, if you don't
know people, and correct, you know, you don't know them, they don't know you. More often than not, they forget about this person that just commented on my post, because the idea, you know, if you heard of this spotlight syndrome, is that, you know, most people think the spotlight is on us all the time. You know, people are looking at us, scrutinizing us, criticizing us, and judging us, but the reality is that most people are having a spotlight on themselves. Yeah, exactly. They have a mirror that they are looking at their own reflection all the time. They actually don't really look at you as much as you think. So if you post something and it doesn't do well,
it's okay.
So work on it, keep getting better, and over time you will eventually get there. So unless you're poor at writing, but you know, that is also a skill you can develop over time.
Yep, agree. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Samuel, for your insights. That's it for our today's episode. May you get a glimpse of a career in marketing, knowing the power of LinkedIn. And if you're curious about marketing, be it in social media marketing, digital marketing, or content strategy, or content creation, go figure it out. Start small, start somewhere, and it will lead you to something bigger. If you like this episode, please share this with your friends, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.